Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Crystal R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You Big Book meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 16, the third paragraph, beginning with Most of Us Feel, and reading all the way through the end of the paragraph and the end of the chapter, ending with Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24, 1971. Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 Steps, Naomi G.B. for the 12 Traditions, Ian F. will be reading the text, Tamara C. will read page 164, and Trisha D. will be our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter will be Tony B., and our second hour host will be Maria F. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, April 28th, 8:30 a.m. special edition meeting were 21,353 and 21,354. I believe there was a technical issue, so there's two numbers. So the first one is 21353 and the second one is 21354. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, or as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan G. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B., compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Naomi GB. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you share that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story on page 16, the third paragraph, which begins with most of us feel and ends with right to the end of the chapter. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Ian F. to begin reading.
Hi. Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Louisville, Kentucky. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. And God, am I grateful for his life. I mean, I think it's really interesting that they include that. This is when he died. He's co-founder of AA. I was on a meeting last night, and you know, there are some days, to be honest, I get on a meeting or I get on a phone call and I don't feel connected to folks at all, in a way. And there are others, like last night, right, I hop on, I don't even have to hear anyone speak, I just see them, and I go, I'm home. You know, and I think for how many years I, as an individual person, was cat's chipping in, great, thanks, how many years as an individual person I was feeling desperately alone and completely misunderstood, and then I came here and people got it. They got eating things out of the freezer even though they were too hard to bite into. You know, they understood that. And this dude, Bill, I mean, he was one of the first people to create a space like that. And that's the whole goal of this book. The whole goal of this chapter, the whole goal of this book, the whole goal of the program is to make space where we can actually learn how to recover from. And he gave us that great gift. And it's a utopia. I mean, that space is a utopia to me. There is no place I would rather be on a Monday morning. So I'm really grateful to read these words, and I will pass so that my cat will shut up. Love y'all.
Thanks so much, Ian, for getting us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday last week on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to approximately 3 minutes to allow as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when you're at 3 minutes, so please wrap up your share as best you can. Who would like to share today?
Priscilla
Katie G. from Boston.
Lindsay P.
Tamara C.
Okay, I've got Priscilla H., Katie G., Lindsay P., and Tamara C. Is there anyone else who'd like to share?
Lisa N.
Adele R.
Bonnie B.
All right, perfect. Let's get started with that list. Here's who I have. Priscilla H., Katie G., Lindsay P., Tamara C., Lisa N., Adele R., and Bonnie B. Please give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and location where you share so we can find you on the member list. If I can ask everyone to please press star 1 to mute your line, we'll get started with Priscilla H., followed by Katie G. Morning, Priscilla.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. Oh, I've been looking forward to this last paragraph in Bill's story. Could hardly wait for us to get to it. I'm physically recovered from compulsive eating and otherwise continuing to recover in every other way. This last little paragraph is so struck me. Well, every time we go through the big book, there's something in there that I never saw before. And what I'm seeing this time through is the word friend in this last paragraph. Each day, my friends, simple talk in our kitchen. Between the time that Bill describes the phone call from his longtime friend and drinking buddy on page 8, right up to this last paragraph in the chapter that we call Bill's story, Bill refers to the guy we call Abby as friend, my friend, 12 times that I could count. How many times does Bill describe Abby as my sponsor? Zero. The word sponsor, as somebody else has pointed out, the word sponsor and sponsee are not in the first 164 pages of the big book at all. So Abby didn't just preach or lecture. He just told Bill his own recovery story for hours. And Bill has told us his story for many pages. Why does any of this stuff about Bill's use of the word friend instead of sponsor matter to me? Maybe for most people it really doesn't make that much difference, but for me it's very important. When I got into 12-step recovery in December 1986, when I took step 3, I sort of thought I knew what having a sponsor or being a sponsor or a sponsee, I thought I knew what that was all about. I'd been to lots of 12-step meetings as part of my job, and it just wasn't that complicated, this sponsoring stuff, right? Well, but for me, I realized today that it was all an act. I was putting on an act. I was not the real deal, but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know how to relate to anybody in an honest, straightforward, authentic way. I was an actor on the stage, as the book talks about somewhere in there. So these days, I hear stories from a few other people who desperately want to sponsor others and be helpful. They've been told that it's critical, that it's absolutely essential. But like
thank
me,
you.
Thank you. They may need to learn, as I am needing to learn, how to be a friend, to use Bill's word, a friend in recovery who's very open and honest about recovery. And that's what I'm learning today with the help of all of you. So thanks for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Priscilla H. Next, we've got Katie G., followed by Lindsay P.
Hey, Crystal. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. So the word utopia is capitalized. And when anything is capitalized in the book, I'm reminded that it stands for God. And I was scared when I first saw this word because it is a perfect way of life. But I looked up the opposite of utopia, which is a society marked by fear, oppression, and poverty with no hope for improvement. And that is just not true. As we've been talking about, we have a design for living that works in any, you know, in rough going. And, you know, I got to experience one of these remarkable, quote unquote, kitchen conversations this morning when I spoke with a mom, and the mom is terrified of joining a program like ours. She's terrified. How do you make time for being for OA? And I just said, how do you not? Right, like I don't know how not to make time for Overeaters Anonymous, because if you look at all the hours that I spent on the exercise bike and on the scale, well, those hours can be used otherwise. And I love that I don't struggle today with fear, oppression, and poverty. I don't struggle without hope for improvement. I do have fear, but I don't struggle with it today. So what does that mean? It means that when I'm afraid, I'm not going to the food. And that's what recovered means. If you're new, I'm not saying I'm cured. In fact, I'm always going to be recovering. However, the thing is, I am recovered from what I am struggling, what I used to struggle with, which is a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I don't suffer. I will always be a compulsive eater, but I don't suffer from compulsive eating. I'm not in the disease right now. And so it is such a privilege, like we've been talking about, that design for living, that the big book babysits me from when I go to bed at night to when I wake up in the morning. And it's like yesterday I woke up and all I had was self. It was oozing out of my pores and my toes. And what did I need to do? I needed to walk the dog for my family. And what did I need to do? I needed to talk to a friend who was really struggling and be honest about my own struggles. I needed to sponsor. I needed to talk to God and say, God, help me walk through this day. Tell me where you would have me go, what you would have me do, what you would have me say, and to whom. The other thing that's cool about a utopian society is that it talks about how it has benevolent governments that ensure the safety and general welfare. That is what we do today. We have the traditions, we have unity, recovery, and service. And I'll just wrap with this. If you are lost, you do not have to ever suffer from compulsive eating again. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. from Boston. Next, we've got Lindsay P., followed by Tamara C.
Good morning, Lindsay P. from New York. Oh, wow. I don't know why I didn't notice before that it says utopia. I mean, that is just such a promise of these 12 steps. I used to think that utopia meant that I could eat whatever I wanted and not gain weight, or that I would get finally a diet would work and I would be thin enough, or that, you know, the scale would say a certain number when I woke up. To me, that was what I thought utopia was, or I'd receive some social status or accolades. And it's unbelievable how after progressing through these 12 steps, I realized my definition of utopia has changed. And that's because I found, you know, has the big book capitalized this, and I see that utopia is God. I have found that I'm no longer succumbing to idolatry of making everything else my utopia, but I'm now making God my utopia. And, you know, utopia actually, a synonym of it is perfection, and God is perfect to me. And if I can just find acceptance that this world is exactly how God planned it to be, and that I don't need to change anything or anyone, then I can live in my own utopia, because I'm not trying to act like God. I also just wanted to share, I think it's so beautiful that we can find such a utopia by our strength, by our weaknesses and not by our strengths. How cool that, like, through our vulnerabilities and our tough moments and something that was so devastating to us, we can come together and find such a beautiful reaction and such strength in each other through connection. I just think that's so beautiful. Like, we're bound together in utopia, but we're bound together through the humility and empathy and the support among each other. And I'm just so grateful to be here. I feel like this meeting is utopia right now, whereas I used to wake up and, you know, be thinking about my next fix or that this was going to be day one, or, you know, I was so in my head, me. And now I can be with all of you and be so grateful. And that is definitely utopia. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay P. Next, we've got Tamara C., followed by Lisa N.
Thank you, Crystal. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. My friend's simple talk in our kitchen. I like to imagine, like, you know, what was Abby, like, did he have any idea? He had no idea what he was starting. If he only knew that his willingness and courage to try to share with Bill what he had found, this spiritual path, you know, if he only knew that he was saving Bill's life, did he know? And that he was saving my life, and this widening circle of people whose lives are being saved. And that includes everyone on this meeting. When you have the willingness and the courage to get on a meeting, to take a call, to share your truth, you know, do you know that you're saving my life? When all of my sponsors, speakers, people have spoken, and then, you know, maybe it's years later that I come across the podcast and hear what their experience, strength, and hope, and it saves my life. And people who take a phone call or have reached out to me or just share at meetings or all the service that makes these meetings possible. You know, you may never know just how many people down the years that circle widens to and touches and saves. And we don't need to know. We get to just have one simple talk at a time, like Abby did with Bill. And this word utopia, yeah, as people have shared, sometimes for me it's like, are we there yet? Will I ever arrive? Some days I don't feel like I'm in utopia. I feel kind of low. I feel burnt out. And then there is something magical about working with another or calling my sponsor or recovered fellow. I get lifted or get returned to God, into these new truths. And the steps guide me back to this, what God is doing for me. And now I look at utopia as the journey, like the road trip is just as fun or more fun than the destination. So my utopia is the growth. And it doesn't always feel like joy when I'm noticing I'm still stuck in self-centeredness and resentment and fear. But when I see how far God has brought me, it's amazing, and I do get to be returned to a feeling of usefulness and the beautiful scenery along the way. So that feels like utopia to me. Thank you, Atta.
Thanks so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Next, we have Lisa N., followed by Adele R.
Hey, Crystal. Thanks so much for taking the meeting this morning. Good to hear your voice and everybody's share so far. Lisa N. from Wisconsin, and I have to say that before I came to OA, I didn't think I needed friends, and yet I felt so alone. It was the weirdest thing. Everybody ticked me off. Everyone annoyed me. Everyone hurt me. So why would I want to join another group? And I had joined groups and been hurt, and you know, never thought that I might be the hurtee or the one who was hurting people. But I went to my first in-person OA meeting about 14 years ago, And I sat there thinking, what is this? This is so bizarre. And then at this certain point, somebody said, we have a newcomer tonight. And I was the only one who was the newcomer. And I was like, oh my gosh, here I go. And would anybody explain to the newcomer? And there's two people, a man and a woman, volunteered right away. And they took me out of that room and we went into a cafeteria. And they told me about the program and their experience. And they gave me their experience, strength, and hope. And I didn't even know it. And then they asked me to speak about my experience. And as I started to speak, I broke down in tears. And I realized that these people were real. They were decent people. They were trying to help me. And it was a deep sense of, I left there feeling like God had brought me there. I knew I had been somehow delivered to that meeting. I don't know how I got there, but I just know that if you are beginning this program, that there is hope. Don't ever leave. Don't ever leave. You think that there's times when we think we don't need a meeting. That's the time that you do need a meeting. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. Thanks. That'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Next, we've got Adele R., followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. My name is Adele R., a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Kansas City. I love this paragraph. And after suffering so much through the last pages and pages and pages of Bill's story and the deep despair and demoralization, to finally come to this part, I feel like it demonstrates this line: each day my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And how, like, the thought that just comes to me is how higher power balances out the deep black hole with this proportionate, directly opposite proportion of utopia and widening circles of recovery. And even I didn't even know what I was going to share, actually, because as I sat here waiting, I had always thought it was my friends, plural. It's Ebby's talk in his kitchen is multiplying itself today in our widening circle of this talk. And it continues to widen. He did his work. Bill did his work. We do our work. I just picture like a raindrop falling onto a lake and those ripples going out. And each one of us, as we do our work and connect with each other, that ripples out. And it just leaves me with a deep sense of gratitude that this is how the Creator works. When we meet in the depth of our despair and in the depth of our hopelessness and powerlessness, and we pick up the simple kit of tools and we use them, we find that it's ecstasy, it's utopia, it's there couldn't be a better spiritual practice. It meets me at every moment of my life. It gives me purpose. And I'm just deeply grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Adele R. Next, we've got Bonnie B., and then we'll be taking another set of names.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Crystal, for your beautiful service. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered today in the state of Florida. I knew this paragraph was going to be just such a blessing as I listened to all the shares, and it has been. So a couple of things jumped out to me. We need to look no further. Yeah, I looked. I was constantly looking. I mean, in the end, what I really wanted was the number on the scale. But, man, I was looking every other place to try to figure out how do I get that to go where I want it to go. And what I lacked, what I didn't understand, is that it had nothing to do with anything on the external. It was all internal. Perplexing for me, and I think this is interesting because it can come in from both sides. I came in with a strong faith and a belief in God. And so it was so perplexing that I believed in God, and we use this word utopia now as perfection. To me, this is what my God is, but there was still a disconnect, and I didn't know why. And I was constantly searching for the next hit, and the hit always presented itself as food or restriction or binging or exercising, depending upon what was going on in my life at that time. But the gift of this program for me is the fact that if I give out, God pours back in. I don't have to give out anything that I don't have. In fact, that's the opposite of what it is. I used to think I had to show up with the goods, right, to be able to help people. And God has dropped into my heart, no, you don't do anything. You just show up. I do the work. You just love. I do the work. You love with no strings attached, as people have so beautifully said. You sit at the table with them, and you just share your experience. And you reach back out, even if they didn't, and if they don't embrace or jump in, you don't give up on them. You keep loving them. You keep loving them. This is the utopia. It's no longer my job. I thought everything was my job, and when things didn't go the way I wanted, and again, in this program, it was like, how many people can I help get recovered? I don't get to do any of it. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. It's exactly what my experience was. I've had many sponsors, and everyone planted a different seed, but until God turned that light on, it didn't happen. But what a place of peace and joy to be able to surrender it all, and then intentionally, as others have said, wake up with the lightness in my step, asking God, what would you have me to be today? What direction do you have for me to go? What would you have me to say today? Who would you have me to interact with? And then sort of free fall through the day with anticipation, because it is beautiful. And everything that I thought I wanted coming in, they're all add-ons. I got them all. But that wasn't the goal. I thought it was, but it wasn't. The goal for me right now is recovery, and recovery is today. If I'm willing to turn back to my God and to release everything to Him, my definition of recovery is emotional sobriety. It just means I've ceased fighting everything. Thank you so much, Crystal. Ceased fighting everything and everyone for today. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Before we continue, let me remind everyone where we're at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 16, the third paragraph, beginning with most of us feel, reading all the way through the end of the chapter, ending with Bill W., co-founder of AA, died on January 24, 1971, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. I will now take another set of names. If you haven't shared in the last few days, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Corey
Matthew
H.
G.
Deborah M.
Okay, I think I heard Lori H., Matthew G., and Deborah M.
Joanne P.
Alice W.
Joanne P.
Sorry, was the last person Jillian P?
Joanne, yes.
Okay. Anybody else like to share? All right, so let me tell you who I've got. I've got Lori H., Matthew G., Deborah M., Joanne P., Alice W., and Jillian P. So if I could ask everybody to please mute your line, and when you come on to share, please give us your first name, the initial of your last name, and the location where you are so we can find you on the member list. Let's get started with Lori H., followed by Matthew G.
Good morning, families. Lori H. from Miami. May I be heard?
Yes.
Hi. Oh, I love this paragraph and the share so far. You know, it's pretty much the stuff I wanted to say, and I was feeling it. Most of us feel, because this is a feeling. We need look no further for utopia. Yeah, I don't need to search for anything ever again. Utopia, we have it. It, to me, is God. And then it says, with us right here and now, God in the present moment. So, yeah, you know, when I do my tense and I'm free, I get to be in the present moment with my loving God, which is what I search for my entire life. And He fulfills all my needs. So if I'm fulfilled, There is no emptiness inside me. There's no longing for the food anymore. There's no longing for anything else because I've already won the lottery. I've won the lottery. And you guys bought me the ticket. And I didn't even know it when I came in. And thank you so much for my ticket to Utopia. And all I have to do is, with the key of willingness, unlock that gate to my own prison cell. And I've done that. And I let my God love me and be with me. And I get to be in the present moment and appreciate the beauty all around me that I never noticed was always there. And I just can't tell you guys, and I can't contain my excitement with this paragraph and how much joy it brings me. Because, yeah, I get beautiful opportunities every single day to widen my circle. I'm on this broad highway, and I am loving it. Thank you for being on this journey with me and for my ticket. Love you all.
Thanks so much. Lori H. from Miami. Next, we've got Matthew G., followed by Deborah M.
Hi there. This is Matthew G., a recovered compulsive overeater in France. And I never share in the recorded meeting, but I just had to today for this beautiful, amazing paragraph. And also this coming Wednesday on May 1st, it'll be 2 years that I have found a vision for you and coming every day. And just, this is my utopia, this group, this big book study. It's just so awesome. Thank you so much. I'm just so incredibly grateful. You know, for me, this utopia means heaven. And, you know, my life before when I was in the food was hell. It was absolute hell. And I'm just so grateful that I've found God and heaven thanks to the good orderly direction of these beautiful, miraculous steps. And it's just right here, right now. And for me, that's, you know, the only time we can really connect with our higher power, with my higher power. And, you know, also, just was thinking that this is just such a beautiful paragraph, you know, widening circle of peace on earth. You know, and I heard recently that, you know, well, you know, there's the blessed are the peacemakers, for, and blessed means happy, and happy are the peacemakers. And isn't it wonderful that we can become peacemakers, makers of peace? And I don't know, I just think it's so beautiful. And the prayer of St. Francis, the 11-step prayer, you know, helps us to become a better peacemaker and to want to be a peacemaker. And I also, you know, think about how now I like to seek peace and want peace, whereas my life was the contrary of peace before. You know, and I actually used to love the contrary of peace. And isn't it wonderful that now I seek it and love it and I'm grateful for it. And that I have goodwill to now, and that's a definition of to love means to will the good of others. And for me, I'm just so grateful that now I truly and honestly seek to have goodwill to all. And I thank you all again, and thanks you for your beautiful, kind, gentle service, Crystal. Love to all. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thanks so much, Matthew G. from France. Next, we've got Deborah M., followed by Joanne P.
Hi, thank you so much, moderator. My name is Deborah M., recovered in Western New York. The word utopia and friend, I love it. To me, utopia meant, for many years in the program, free from pain. That's what I was really searching for. There was a lot of trauma, like everybody else has, but I wanted to be free from the pain. And thought if I did the program perfectly, that would happen. I had a faith, strong faith, but there was pain. And I would do steps, do everything I should, and check in with my heart. Oh, there's still pain. Something's up. And what I would do is go back to grazing, just a little bit to take the edge off, because the pain was still there. And I was always measuring program with pain, still pain. I needed to graze until I met a wonderful person who was actually my friend in program. She was so gracious and so loving and so just accepting that she gently led me to I don't even know if she knows how she did it. I don't know how she did it. But I started to pray for willingness. You know, for me, the willingness was the biggest key. I knew if I kept grazing, I was going to go down a dark pit. But after doing this, and what happened was she introduced me much more to the healer than to the healing. And it's at that place that all I can say is I don't look to see if there's any pain anymore. I'm sure there is going to be it's there. But it's the place of the program bringing me to the healer instead of, quote, looking at the pain, taking my eyes off the healer and looking for pain always trips me up. So that's all I have to share. Keep coming back for newcomers and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Deborah M. from New York. Next, we've got Joanne P., followed by Alice W.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here and so grateful for another abstinent day of recovery. This paragraph, wow, I circled Utopia, so I guess I thought about it, but listening to all of you is just, yeah, we have it right here and now, right? It's my utopia. What is utopia? It's imaginary, right? Perfection, does that even really exist? Is there ever, or even a place, a perfection? And I spent my whole life trying to be perfect, right? Trying to lose weight, trying to, yeah, we all know where we've been and the struggles we've been with our food allergy and our obsession of the mind. But you know what? Right here and now, we have this simple talk that we share each day. Our widening circle of friends gives us peace, and our goodwill to men is practicing our steps, right? So we practice these principles in all our daily affairs, especially with, all the people that we come into, and that's our goodwill. And the peace that we receive by abandoning ourselves to our higher power right here on earth is a utopia that I never even thought about or dreamt about. But here I am. I just feel so grateful to have surrendered and accepted with humility, really, everyone and everything. All life goes on, you know, my struggles continue. But I wake up and the sunshine fills me with, you know, such peace and and the joy of just knowing all of you and being honest with you and authentic and laughing and crying and our fellowship is pretty amazing. So I am so grateful to be here and so grateful for all of you. And I just feel like my higher power has rescued me and given me this, this ability really to accept with humility and to surrender to my higher power everything, really, and just know that it's going to be okay, you know, one day at a time. We just do what we have to do. So thank you so much for letting me share. And have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Next, we've got Alice W., followed by Julian P.
Hi there. I'm Alice W. from the UK. Can I be heard?
Yep, we can hear you, Alice.
Thank you. Hi there. I just want to come in and just share and just get really honest, because I think by being incredibly honest, I'm going to connect with everybody on a much more authentic level, rather than sort of listening and being on the outskirts. I kind of just need to get myself in. I've experienced utopia in this program when I've done all the things, when I've done all the actions, when I've followed all the suggestions. I have absolutely experienced this, and I know it works. And and it's been amazing. And I suppose I want to sort of give myself as an example that when I stopped doing that, and I gave, unfortunately, I So the dystopian, so the opposite of utopia, I also looked it up in the dictionary, and it's, it says dystopian is the exact opposite. It describes an imaginary society that is as dehumanizing and as unpleasant as possible. And that's my disease. And it's cunning, subtle, baffling. It's my disease in my voice. It tells me, oh, it's all right. I mean, so I had three. So basically, I just want to get really honest. I've been really struggling in this relapse cycle over and over again. And I got 3 weeks. And for some reason, I was clearing out my parents' farm. And I just saw some muesli. And the insanity, knowing what I know, I just picked it up, knowing what I know. And then led on this 2-day binge where my stomach was so cripplingly painful. I had stomach acid, I was coughing, nearly choking, slept for 16 hours last night, and I've just been in this relapse cycle that I have not been able to get out of. And it's really odd because I've had years of abstinence and really good recovery and been a sponsor, and but this disease is so so horrid. So I'm kind of just wanting to kind of reach my arm out, and I'm desperate now. And there is really a gift in desperation. And I also, when I hear the hope and when I hear the recovery on this line, I know it's possible. You know, I can make myself special and different. It won't work for me, but I know it's possible if I do the things. And that's what I need to do. And I just kind of want to reach in really properly, because I get scared of connecting to people. I'm going to be honest, phone calls I find quite frightening sometimes, and I think I've got this real fear of rejection, and I know that that's my disease. My disease keeps me away. So even though thank you, I'm going to leave it there, obviously, and thank you so much for listening to what I've just shared. Sorry if it's not that positive. Cheers.
Thanks so much, Alex W. from the UK. And next we've got Jillian P. We might have time for one or two more shares. Jillian, press *1 to unmute, please.
Hi, I'm Jillian P. from Pennsylvania. I already shared, I think. You must have written me down.
Okay. I must have written you down twice. Okay, thank you. All right, so we do have time for a few more shares. Who would like to share?
Francis D. from Michigan.
Okay, Francis. Anybody else? I think we have time for maybe two more.
Carolina?
Yep, I've got you, Nancy. All right, let's go with that. So Francis D. and then Nancy. Go ahead, Francis.
Thank you.
Oh, Francis, we can't hear you. Do you want to press *1 again? We can hear you now. Go ahead.
From Michigan, I'm grateful to claim my seat today. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Francis D. from Michigan. Nancy, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Nancy, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody for the reach out. I received like 25 calls, text messages, and I've been in the other recovery program for over 30 years. I've never experienced such an outreach. And actually, it was almost scary, but there's no way that I can call everybody back all at once. But now I have this great list of recovering people or recovered people that I can reach out to. And this is amazing. And I love that you guys follow the big book. And I feel like I'm in brand new recovery again, which is uncomfortable, but it's good. And any discomfort I feel in my recovery program means I'm in growth. So again, thank you everybody for the reach out, the resources, and the kind words. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Nancy. We do have time for another two more shares. Would anyone like to share?
Helena.
Okay, I think I heard Colleen M. and there was one more person.
Tan K. from Florida, I hope.
Perfect, Tan K. from Florida. All right, let's go with that. So Colleen M., you're followed by Tan K.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line who's doing service today. Colleen M., recovered in Maryland. Most of us feel we need to look no further for utopia. So I know I need to look no further. This is definitely where I need to be. This is the only thing that I've ever done that has given me freedom from food and compulsive overeating and, you know, given me a chance to grow spiritually and emotionally and mentally. I'm not really in a place of utopia right now, unfortunately. I'm going through another growth opportunity, which always is uncomfortable. But, you know, somebody was talking earlier about friends, you know, simply talking with a friend in the kitchen. They were talking about Ebby, and it brought back to, you know, that, you know, God has been doing this for the, you know, since the dawn of time, you know, there were two guys that showed up at Ebby's court case that took him and gave him this program. And I'm sure that with the group, I can't think of the name of it right now, the Oxford group, you know, we're doing this for years and years. We just didn't see how it impacted, you know, the group of alcoholics. But so there's a fabric working underneath in my mind and my life that my higher power has created. So right now, even though I'm not in utopia, that I'm going through this period of uncomfortableness and growth, I know that there's, you know, that God is working behind the scenes in my life. And when I can reach out and share with another person in these rooms, honestly, about where I'm at, you know, that multiplies. And I believe it is, is healing for all of us because, you know, life happens, you know, and I've had periods of utopia where, you know, life is going great, but, you know, I live in a world with other humans and I'm no longer playing the great director and yeah, I just have to work on me and how I can change. And God is doing that slowly, but consistently. And I do have so much more peace, you know, peace on earth and goodwill to men. My goal today is to be of service to others and to get out of the old belief patterns that I've had that have run my life for so long and have kept me in my disease. So I just wanted to, say that, you know, this is a miracle program. If you haven't gotten the miracle, don't go anywhere because it's there for you. It will happen. You just have to keep coming back and doing what everyone around us is doing who has what you want. And thank you all for being here for me and helping me grow on a daily basis. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Colleen M. And finally, we've got Tan K. from Florida.
Hello, this is Tan K. from Florida. I want to thank everybody who's doing service here, who is listening, who is sharing. I'm coming back from I was 2 years abstinent and 2 years in relapse. And I'm just coming back from that. And I'm seeing this I just realized that it's happening for me as I've heard so many times. And it gives me the opportunity to grow. And just in this paragraph, I mean, there's so many beautiful, utopia, and it is right here and now. So God is with me right here and now. So he's listening to me. He's speaking to me. And then the word friend, simple talk. It's not a intelligent talk. It's not a talk that is teaching. It's not a talk that is incredibly insightful. It's a talk that is simple and it's honest. And the word friend, I mean, that reminded me that the first time when I was, abstinent in OA, and I really thought I had strong abstinence and I was sponsoring, but I somehow couldn't believe that the people in OA could be my friends because I just didn't have the time. I am a an executive position. I've got kids. I've got money to earn. I've got places to go. I just couldn't believe that this would be happening. And I think what I'm learning is that this is the most important thing for me. It's the most important thing because everything else will derange, and it will, you know, God, this program, you as the voices of God, I have to realize, and I'm slowly learning that this is the most important thing. So, and I hope this, and I'm feeling this, that this is the peace on earth that God is giving us. And it's here and now, and it's very simple. And I thank you all for continuing this great meeting. Thanks so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Tan K from Florida. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Monday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April 29, 2024, is 21,355, 21355. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, through to keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, Crystal. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Tamara C. We'll just wait for the recording to stop.